I'd like to begin this morning by telling a brief story. There was a man in the late 18th century who was a simple shoemaker. All he did all day long was sit around and make shoes. But there was something different about this man. He was also a Christian. And as he was sitting there making his shoes, he would be studying his Bible. He had no formal education. But he had managed to teach himself Greek, Hebrew, Italian, Dutch, French, and Latin, all while he was working. The shoemaker was also a Baptist pastor. And while he was working, one day he was reading a brand new book that had just come over from the New World. He was an Englishman. And the book was a biography of a little known man named David Brainerd. The book was written by an American pastor named Jonathan Edwards. And as he was reading this book, he became convinced of the need for world missions. The man's name was William Carey. He is known as the father of modern missions. And so at a Baptist minister's meeting in
1786,
William Carey decided to ask the question of whether it was the duty of all Christians to spread the gospel throughout the world.
So Carey 在问一个问题, 说是不是我们基督徒的责任把福音传遍全球?
J.R. Ryland is said to have stated,
J.R. Ryland 这个人是有传说他是这样讲,
"Sit down, young man. When God pleases to convert the heathen, He will do it without your help or mine." And this was the standard thought of the people in England at this time. God's in the business of saving people. So why do we need to do anything? In 1792, William Carey published a brief missionary pamphlet. And in it, he made a case and an argument of why it is imperative and necessary for Christians to actually do things to spread the gospel. And he's known for this quote. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. He would eventually become a missionary to the country of India. And have his hand in translating the scriptures in more than 25 languages. Missions
宣教
is a gravely important matter. In fact, the leadership of this church has determined that missions is so important that we have dedicated 10% of our offerings to the work of missions.
那么重要，所以教会决定说把我们是收向10%。
But why is mission so important? Why is it so necessary? I think our text this morning gives us that answer. Matthew 28 is written at the very, very end of the Gospel of Matthew. That is to say, we've already seen that Christ has died. And we've already seen magnificent miracles that he did while he was on this earth. And we saw that his offer of the kingdom has been rejected.
And that he's
begun to set up teachings as foundations for something that has never been seen before. A church where people are on the same level. Jews are on the same level as Greeks. Men are on the same level as women. And slaves are on the same level as freemen. And then he died. And then he rose again. And it's on this foundation that he's going to give a command to his disciples. And as a command, it must be obeyed. This commission is repeated in two other places. It's in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And this is what Scripture says. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. It's repeated in Acts chapter
8.
In slightly different words. He says in Acts chapter 1, verse
8.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In our 21st century world, we sometimes have become so narrow-minded in our focus. Perhaps we think, well, maybe I only need to tell people who are in Eden Prairie. Or who live in my neighborhood in Edina. Or in New Hope. Or Plymouth. Or Brooklyn Park. All the different places where people live. And all we think is that the gospel is just to reach those people. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we see various concentric circles around a central location. That the gospel starts in Jerusalem. But if it stayed there, none of us would have ever heard. Instead, it was broader, went out to Judea. And it went to a country nearby, into Samaria. And then it went to the uttermost parts of the earth. So much so that those who were watching the gospel spread, who were not Christians, said that they had turned the world upside down. And I think what Christ wants us to see in Matthew chapter
28
is he is giving us the mission behind missions. What is the mission of missions? This text gives us three aspects. We have the authority of the mission. We have the command of the mission. And we have the means of the mission. Let's first look at the authority of the mission. In verse 18, Scripture says, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. the divine Son of God, having died on the cross and rose again from the dead, is stating a bare fact for the world to see. The authority has been given to him. Now, what is authority? It's not simply power or ability. A man holding a chainsaw has the power to cut down almost every tree he comes to. But if he does not own the land, does he have the authority to cut down that tree? Does he have the right to cut it down? No. Authority is something more than power. It is the right to exercise that power. And the text shows us the realm of his authority. And it says, on heaven and on earth. Now, this idea of earth is not the idea of world. Like either the world that the world of men, or the wicked world system. The word is more akin to globe. It's the ground on which we are standing. That is to say that his authority has a geographical locus. It has a place on the planet. It emphasizes the space realm and the material realm. The authority is from Christ over the earth. And the reason he established his authority is because any command given without authority is first of all a command that does not really need to be obeyed. And second of all, it's a command that would be impossible to keep. His statement of authority is ultimately a statement of sovereignty. He has both the ability and the right to rule over the earth. And as we're going to see in this text, he has delegated some of that authority to other believers. They are to act as ambassadors. What are ambassadors? An ambassador has the right and the ability to make some decisions in the place of his leader. The ambassador of the United States to a foreign country only answers to one man. He only answers to the President of the United States. He has some ability and authority to make decisions in the place of the President. And his goal is to know his leader so well that he'll make the exact same decision that leader would make. In the same way, Christians are ambassadors. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
看一下, 哥林多后书第五章。
Beginning in verse 18.
18节开始。
2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18.
哥林多后书5章18节.
This is what Scripture says.
圣经是这么讲.
All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
18节，这个节，一切都是出于神，他借着基督使我们与他和好，都将劝人与他和好的职分赐给我们。这就是神在基督里叫世人与自己和好，不将他们过犯归到他们身上，并且将这和好的道理托付了我们。所以我们做基督的使者，就好像神借着我们劝你们一般，我们替基督求你们与神和好。
So what Paul is saying is that we have been delegated authority from Jesus Christ Himself. And so that we can take the message of Christ's death and resurrection to a lost and dying world. When Ryland said that God would save the heathen without your help or mine to William Carey,
当Ryland先生说神可以使这不信的人归向他的，不需要我们的帮忙的时候,
he was wrong because he didn't realize that the means that God uses
他错了，因为他不晓得神用的方法,
is by a believer telling a non-believer, be reconciled unto God.
是要借着一个信主的人，对一个非信者，跟他讲说要回转与神和好。
And this is the message that we preach.
这就是我们所传的福音。
And this is the authority that has been delegated to us.
这就是所委托给我们的权威。
We've looked at the authority of the mission.
让我们看一下这个使命的权柄。
Let's look at the command of the mission.
我们第二个就看说这个宣教的命令。
Verse 19 says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations.
19节讲说是去使万民做我的门徒。
If you look at this passage in English,
如果在看英文的翻译本的话,
you would think, oh, but I see two commands.
所以你就说，哦，我看到两个命令。
I see a command to go, and I see a command to make disciples.
第一个命令是要去，第二个是使万民做我门徒。
But this is a slightly inaccurate translation. The only command in the original language in this verse is the command to make disciples.
在这一节里面，唯一的命令就是要使人做门徒。
The going is simply something that is assumed.
这个去呢，是已经我们已经应该可以知道的，应该做的。
It's like saying, as you are going.
所以好像说，当你去的时候，
In other words, our Lord and Savior assumes already that we're going to be going.
所以好，可以这样讲说，我们的主基督是假定我们已经在去了。
That we're going to go to different parts of the world.
我们去全世界不同的地方。
He also gives us the location.
他也给我们地点。
He says, make disciples of all nations.
他说,
that means that we are to make disciples of Chinese people.
意思说我们要使中国人成为门徒,
of European people.
欧洲人,
of English people.
英国人,
of Jewish people.
犹太人,
of Japanese people.
日本人,
of Asian people.
东方人,
of African peoples.
非洲人,
of South American peoples.
南美洲的人,
he says all nations.
他说万民,
and all is an all-inclusive word.
So one, 就是包括一切。
It doesn't mean go reach the Chinese but not the Mongolians.
他说不是说去带中国人进组，但不要理那些蒙古人。
It doesn't mean we're supposed to forget about the people in Bongo Bongo Africa.
还是忘记非洲的这Bongo Bongo的一些人。
It's supposed to, it means that we're to reach all nations of all people. Within the Old Testament, the people that were supposed to be those the ambassadors to the nations were the Jewish people. And within the Old Testament realm, the gospel was really confined to the Jewish nation. But the other nations were supposed to see and observe what God was like through the Jewish people. Let's look at a couple of these. Psalm 9:11. It says, "Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples or the nations his deeds." Psalm 46:10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations."
你们要休息，要知道我是神，我必在外邦中被尊崇。
Psalm 47:8. It says that God reigns over the nations. Psalm 67. Verse 2. Psalm 67 is really the missionary chapter. Of the Old Testament. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him."
得知你的道路，万国得知你救恩。神啊，愿列邦称赞你，愿万民都称赞你，愿万国都快乐欢呼，因为必按正公正审判万民，引导世上的万国。神啊，愿列邦称赞你，愿万民都称赞你。地已经赐了土产，神就是我们的神，要赐福于我们。神要赐福于我们，地的四极都要敬畏他。
God's concern in the Old Testament was the nations.
神在旧约他心里所关心的是所有的国家。
God's concern in the New Testament is the nations.
在新约的时候，神所关心的也是万国。
The church
教会
is to include people of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation.
在教会里面应该有所有的各国的人。
But what does it mean to make disciples?
但是使人成为门徒是什么意思?
I think that the definition of making disciples is caught up really in the means by which this is carried out.
我想说使人做门徒呢，是包括在这个宣教的方法里面。
And this brings us to point number three.
这样引我们到第三点。
The means of the mission. And it's found in the last half of verse 19 and the first half of verse 20. It says, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you."
奉父子圣灵的名给他们施洗，凡我所吩咐你们都教训他们遵守。
So really there are two means listed here.
So
there is by means of baptizing
是借着诗经
and by means of teaching.
借着教导
Let's look at the first means.
我们看第一个方法。
It says, by means of baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit.
是奉父子圣灵的名给他们施浸。
What does baptism mean?
施浸什么意思?
We say that baptism is a public profession of faith.
我们说的是这个浸礼是在公开的一个信心的见证。
It's a public declaration that I have believed something.
是在公开的见证说我相信了某样事情。
And if I have believed something, that implies that I have also been taught something.
如果我相信一样东西，意思说已经有人把这样东西教我了。
And so what is this thing that I have been taught?
所以我被教的这个是什么事情？
It is, simply put, the gospel.
很简单说就是福音。
But what is the gospel?
但福音是什么？
Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
请翻到哥林多前书十五章。
We'll look at verses 1 through 4.
我们看第一到第四节。
It says, Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ...died for our sins, in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures.
第一节，弟兄们，我如今把先前所传给你们的福音告诉你们知道，这福音你们也领受了，也靠着站立得住，并且你们若不是突然相信，能以持守我所传给你们的，就必因这福音得救。我当日所领受又传给你们的，第一就是基督照圣经所说为我们的罪死了，而且埋葬了，又照圣经所说第三天复活了。
So what is the gospel?
所以福音是什么呢？
From this passage we can see first of all that the gospel is historical event.
所以从这一段圣经里面看到说这个福音是历史的事件。
We have two historical events actually.
这边有两件历史的事情。
Christ died.
基督死了
and Christ rose again.
基督复活了
But if all it was a historical event, would that be enough?
但如果福音只是一个历史的事情的话，够不够呢？
How many people in the Roman world died on the cross?
有在罗马时代有多少人被钉十字架？
Thousands, if not millions.
几千几万，可能几百万。
So what? Millions of people died on crosses before.
有几百人、几百万的人已经被钉十字架，有什么大不了的事情？
It is not only history.
这不只是历史
It is explanation.
乃是解释
And what is the explanation?
那解释是什么呢?
It's that Christ died for our sins.
就是基督为我们的罪死
He died and his death accomplished something.
他的死成就了一些事情
It did something.
做了一些事情
When he died, he paid the price for sin.
当他死的时候，为我们的罪付上代价。
This brings up several implications.
所以这种就说有几个我们可以看到的含义。
First of all, if he died for sin, there had to first be sin to begin with.
第一个，如果为我们罪死的话，我们本来就有罪的意思。
And we know that scripture says all sinned.
这圣经讲说世人都犯了罪。
Every one of us has sinned.
每一个人都有罪。
We've all done things that have offended God.
我们都有做事情冒犯神。
But not only does it imply just the simple fact that we've all sinned,
但不只是说我们每个人都有犯罪。
It implies divine judgment.
也有含义说有神的一个审判。
All have sinned and that the wages of sin is death.
世人都犯了罪，然后罪的工价是死。
If everyone is doing it, it's not really a problem.
如果每一个人都做的话，就没有问题。
Until that there is a punishment for everyone.
值得有这个惩罚来到给每一个人。
And that punishment is an eternal death.
这惩罚就是永死。
But how could Jesus pay an eternal punishment?
但耶稣怎么样为我们付这个的永恒的代价？
Well, first of all, he had to be fully man in order to die.
第一，他要是成为人，才可以为我们死。
But if he was fully man, wouldn't that mean he was finite and couldn't pay an infinite price?
但如果他是人的话，他是有限的呢，他没有为我们，没有办法为我们付这个无限量的代价。
So he had to be infinite. In other words, he had to be fully God as well.
所以他也要是说无限量，他也要同时是神。
But how in the world can you have a person who's fully God and fully man?
但是你怎么样可以有一个人是完全百分之一百是人，百分之一百又是神？
He also had to be born of a virgin.
他是要是借着童女怀孕所生的。
These are implications.
所以这些都是含义。
But they are just as much a part of the gospel as the fact that Christ died for your sin.
刚刚所讲的都是在这个福音里面，好像说基督为我们罪死了，在福音里面。
The gospel message also includes an invitation.
所以这个福音的信息也同时有一个邀请给我们。
He says in 1 Corinthians 15, by which you received.
他说在哥林多前书十五章第一节说，你们也领受了。
It's not enough simply to know the facts.
不，我们只是知道这事实不够。
That Christ died, he rose again, he was fully God and fully man.
基督死了，他复活了，他是完全的人，也是完全的神。
It's something that must be accepted as a free gift.
所有的知识我们需要说是是接受进来，因为它是白白的赐给我们的。
And this is the essence of the message of the Christian mission.
所以这个就是我们基督教宣教的信息。
And after the gospel is accepted,
当这个福音被接领受以后，
the first step in obedience,
第一步在领受的过程中，
is to publicly declare to other people that you have accepted that message.
就是在公众的地方就宣告说我已经接受了这个信息。
And what do we call that public declaration?
那我们讲这个在公众的地方这个宣告是什么呢？
It's called baptism.
就是名称就是浸礼。
Now, I think that the word baptism is a very poor translation of a word.
我想这个浸礼是不是很好的一个翻译？
The word baptism is simply the Greek word baptize.
所以在那个希腊文就是浸礼。
There's no difference.
没有分别。
But what the word should be translated as?
但这个字是应该这样的翻译。
Is to dip or dunk or immerse.
就是浸进去丢进去水里面，还是被水遮盖。
That is to say, when we practice baptism, it's a picture of dying with Christ down underneath the water.
所以当我们有浸礼的时候，就是一个人是浸在水里面，好像与基督同死。
And rising again to walk in newness of life.
然后起来，从水里面起来呢，重新以后有新生命。
Look at Romans chapter 6.
我们看到罗马书第六章。
Verses 3 and 4.
第三、第四节。
Do not know that all of us who have been baptized or dunked or dipped into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
第三节说，岂不知我们是受浸归入基督耶稣的人。受浸意思说把人把白水里面用被水遮过，这受浸归入他的死吗？所以我们借着浸礼归入死，和他一同埋葬，原是叫我们一举一动有新生的样式，像基督借着父的荣耀从死里复活一样。
But baptism is really a declaration of two things that are two sides to one coin.
所以这个浸礼是其实是宣告。两件事情，但是是好像一个硬币的两面一样。
It's a declaration that I have accepted the work of Christ as forgiveness of my sins.
第一方面就是说，是宣告说我已经接受了基督的救恩，把他把我罪洗干净。
And Romans 6 says that I'm going to walk a different way, walking in newness of life.
然后就说像罗马书第六章讲说，从今以后一举一动有新生的样式。
So the means of the mission, first of all, is by baptism.
所以宣教的方法第一个是借着浸礼。
So if one of the ways that you are a disciple is by being baptized,
所以如果说有人家给你做门徒训练是借着敬礼。
Just a side note, if you are not baptized, you are not a disciple.
我顺便提一下，如果你没有受浸过的，你不可以说你是一个门徒。
That's the implication from Matthew 28.
因为就是马太福音二十八章这个是个含义。
And the second means in Matthew 28.
在马太福音二十八章第二个方法呢？
Is by teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.
就吩咐他们，教训他们一切耶稣所吩咐他们的。
There's a level of instruction that goes on with missions.
在宣教这个事情里面有不同层次的教导。
See, if all missions was seeing people gain eternal life.
如果宣教只是要说给看人成为基督徒的话。
And if all of our goal was to populate the kingdom of heaven.
那我们目的就是天国就充满人就好了。
Our task would be easy.
那我们工作还蛮简单的。
We could evangelize with the edge of a shotgun.
我们可以用枪去逼人来相信。
Someone becomes a believer.
所以一个人成为一个信徒。
Okay, well, might as well prevent them from sinning any longer.
So, 那可能就是我们就尽量不要给他们再犯罪了。
So we can take them and send them straight to heaven.
就把他们杀掉，直接他们可以到天堂。
But is that what missions is all about?
但这是不是宣教的目的呢？
No, we're teaching them to observe all things.
但其实不是，我们是要教导他们。是要遵守所吩咐的。
That is to say, we're teaching them to live a different way.
所以这个意思说，我们教导他们从今以后活的不同方式。
To love the things that God loves.
去爱神所爱的。
To hate the things that God hates.
去恨神所恨的。
To rightly order the things that we love and hate.
所以然后把这两样东西有好好平衡。
And frankly, it's also teaching them to obey this very command.
也同时是要我们遵守这大使命。
That is to say, in our task of missions.
所以在我们在宣教工作的上面。
In our task of teaching the gospel to other people.
当我们把这个福音教导别人的时候。
We are not complete in our task.
我们没有完成我们的使命。
Until we have people who share the gospel with people.
如果我们没有把这个福音跟别人分享。
Who are trained to share the gospel with other people.
还是说我们被训练去把这个福音跟别人分享。
Who are trained to share the gospel with other people.
那这另外一个人又受训跟另外一个人传。
That is to say that the ministry of the gospel is to spread exponentially.
这意思说是福音的事工是要把这个福音传遍。
So if you have not been baptized,
如果你没有接受浸礼,
you are not a disciple.
你不是一个门徒。
And if you are not spreading the gospel,
然后如果你不是传福音的话,
if you are not obeying the commands of Christ and the apostles,
如果你没有遵守基督的命令跟门徒使徒们的命令,
I'm sorry, but you're not a disciple.
很对不起,我要这样讲,你不是门徒。
If you are not a believer,
如果你不是信徒的话,
you have no right to be baptized.
你没有资格接受浸礼。
Perhaps there are some sitting here in this room today.
可能今天在我们中间。
Let's say, you know, I have never accepted the truth of the gospel.
你自己说，我心里没有真正的接受圣经里面的真理。
I have never put my trust in Christ alone to have my sins taken away.
我没有只是单靠主耶稣的救恩把我的罪除掉。
And if I were to die today,
如果我今天要离开世界的话，
then God's wrath and judgment would be upon me.
神的愤怒跟他的审判就会临到我了。
If that's you today,
如果这所形容的就是你，
you need to believe.
你需要相信。
You need to be saved.
你需要得救。
You need to come to Christ.
你需要来到基督面前。
Perhaps you're sitting here today.
可能你今天坐在我们中间。
And you have made that decision to believe.
你已经做了决定要相信。
But you have not yet been baptized.
但你没有接受浸礼。
According to the commands of Christ,
按照主的命令,
you are not a disciple,
你不是一个门徒,
until you have been baptized.
直到你接受浸礼。
Maybe you're sitting here today,
可能你今天坐在我们中间,
and your lifestyle is not one that actively seeks to spread the gospel.
你的生活方式没有说包括要传福音的。
Or there are several areas in your life that do not line up with the teaching of Christ and the apostles. And you're wanting to live your own way. You're not a disciple. You need to repent. There may be some here that are asking, why is missions really important? We should be worried about our own church. About taking care of our financial needs at home. About getting a church building. About hiring more pastors. About growing our numbers. Let me speak in words that seem very, very harsh. If you are against the international missionary program of the church, you're against the command of Christ. In a sense, you are Antichrist. But I think we can say that from this passage. If Christ really means what he says. And finally, he gives us a wonderful guarantee at the end of verse 20. How in the world can we accomplish an impossible task? Of seeing all nations come to Christ. Is it even feasibly possible? Is it even logistically possible? Should those things even be our concern? Look at the promise that Christ gives. It's really, honestly, not us that's doing the work. It is Him. And here is what it says. Look at verse 20. He says, behold. By the way, the word behold there is a command. See it. Look at it. Stare at this promise that I'm about to give you. Hold on to it. Live by it. And this is what our Lord says. Behold, I am with you always. Even to the end of the age. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The task is His task. We are ambassadors of the task. But mind you, we are not alone. Christ is there with us the whole time. And we pray as a church that we will be obedient to the command. Let's close in a word of prayer. And now, Father,
天父,
as we are looking at the impossible task of seeing our generation evangelized,
让我们看的这个好像是不可能的工作, 就是使我们现代的世界每一个人, 可以得到福音,
and we wonder how much that it might cost us,
我们可能也在想说我们需要付出多少,
our lives,
我们的生命,
our fortunes, possibly our reputation. We remember the promise that you said you would be with us always. But somehow we can have real communion with your Son. And we pray, Father, that we would infuse, that you would infuse in us enough love for your Son. That we would be driven to do the work for you. Help our church to be missionally minded.
And
to think outside of the box of our own church.
And
to see our whole world reached.
And
we pray this in your Son's precious name.
Amen.
Amen.